Happy Easter, Jesus has risen. He has risen. And not only just today, always. We can be sure that every single day, our Christ is risen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself watching TV and I end up watching a bit of a scary movie. And I've got a big imagination. I don't know if you're like me, but I can make myself really, really scared. While I'm watching, I seem to be fine. But when it's time to get to bed, I run down that passage like I'm still 3 years old. I jump into that bed, and when I see that curtain moving, my mind is overactive. I start hearing those noises, and my mind runs away with me. What are some of the things that you are scared of? Okay, Anne's got a phobia for spiders. Anne is all, so it's an Anne thing. Okay, Anne is also saying, yes, spiders. What are some of the other things that you're scared of? Maria? Lightning. Maria's scared of lightning. Okay. Sorry? Shadows. Okay. Krista's scared of shadows. For me, we all have those things that frighten us. And sometimes we look at other people and we think that those fears are a little bit dumb, okay? How can you be petrified of a little mouse and you jump up onto your counter and you're trying to hit it with a broom? But the reality is we all need to put ourselves in the shoes of other people. What are those things that really scare you? Well, many of you will know my phobia is driving. And every single day that's something I have to do. And it's sometimes past experiences that bring fears into us, because we had a farm and we were on our way back 1 year from a lovely family gathering, and my aunt was in front of us and she was involved in a car accident. And that was the year, ironically, that I had to get my license. Hey, Chrissy. And that was a phobia for me. Not so much the fear of myself, but other people around me. So we all have those different fears that are brought on. Now, we are not alone, because I think so often in Scripture, there's fear. The disciples were riddled with fear. All we need to do is go back to the Sea of Galilee, to Matthew 8, verses 23 to 26. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there rose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus continued to sleep. And they woke him, saying, "Save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid, you of little faith?" Then he rose, he rebuked the winds, and there was a great calm. They saw the waves on the Sea of Galilee, and they were frightened. And we might not be faced with those physical waves, but we're faced with waves in our lives every single day that might scare us. But Jesus does promise that he is going to still that storm. He's saying to us the same thing that he said to the disciples. He's saying, don't be afraid. That's interesting, because the Bible has 365 fear nots in the Bible. And poor Claire, when she preached this in her church in England, she got crucified. They wanted to know how she counted all of those fear nots. But that's not the point. The point is, however many there are a lot of fear nots. And that's the message to us today. If God gives us so many fear nots, there's a reason he's telling us not to be scared. The Israelites, who were followed by the Egyptians out of Egypt, were scared. Joshua had to step into the shoes of Moses, and he was told, "Fear not." Mary has an angel appear to her, and the angel says, "Fear not." The shepherds in the fields, the angels appeared to them. And what did they say? Fear not. This morning, God is telling us, fear not, because he knows the seriousness of fear. He knows what fear has the ability to do to us. If you've walked this small little part of this year with me already, I think that every single one of us know what fear does to you. It steals your faith. It gains control over your lives. Whether it be like that break in Maria, where the devil tries to put that fear in you, or Anne, the situation you were faced with and you didn't know what you were going to do. It's not just a feeling. Ironically, fear is a spirit. It's an evil spirit. One of the spirits that we rebuke, the spirit of fear. He attacks us and we need to take control of the spirit that's trying to control our lives. He knows exactly which buttons to push, and he isn't from God. According to Scripture, the only fear we should have is reverential fear of the Lord. Okay, so Romans 8 verses 15 says, "For I did not give you a spirit of fear and slavery, but a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says something similar, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power," a spirit of power, "of love, calm, well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control." The definition of fear, according to the dictionary, is to run, to take flight from something threatening. But that's not what God is wanting us to do. I want you to think of like a snail or a tortoise. I look at Joshy and he'll go up to the snail and he'll touch it on its little antenna and the snail pulls into its little shell. And that's what a lot of us do when we're faced with fear. But we should be doing the opposite. Think of that little shongololo when you go to it and you touch it and it rolls up. Okay? It plays dead. And I think that's what some of us do in fear. We actually get to the point where we give up and we lie there and we actually like we're dead. We need to look at the power of our mind. Joyce Meyer talks about the battlefield of your mind. She says that fear spells out false evidence appearing real. That your mind makes things worse than what it is. Like when I've just watched that scary movie and I'm lying in bed and my mind is overactive and my mind is turning something far worse than what it was. Okay? I'm not saying that the situation that you've got to face isn't a big situation. But very often when we get through it, we look at it and we're like, but that wasn't as bad as what my mind made it out to be. You with me? Okay? So I've got to now ride down to Pietermaritzburg or something like that, and then I nearly don't sleep for 3 nights, you know? And my mind is turning all these things over. And yes, it was maybe a challenge, but it was like, hey, I actually did it. The power of our mind. Fear is the devil's greatest tool to discourage us, to make us lose our confidence, to throw us off course, to make us doubt, but most importantly, to steal our joy. And I think that that's what's been happening to a lot of us. Our joy is gone because we're living lives of fear. The devil uses it because of spiritual warfare, because our words have power, and we keep coming back to that. But what we confess is going to come to pass. And if we fear something, it actually is another spiritual law. What you fear comes to pass. We're calling it. Holy Week is a story of fear. Not only by the disciples, but Jesus, who was faced with fear as well. So there he came riding into Jerusalem, like we spoke about last week. But he wept, knowing what lay ahead. And slowly, that fear started to rise up in Jesus. Now remember, Jesus was free of sin. It wasn't that feeling of fear that's the sin. It's what we do with that fear. Does that make sense to you? Okay. After the Last Supper, Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved." Jesus was scared. "And he was distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay watch with me. Can you imagine what Jesus was feeling at that moment? Our unknown is exactly that. Sometimes the future is unknown. Jesus knew exactly what was coming, and he was scared. In Luke 22, verses 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it was great drops of blood falling to the ground. That stress, I've only ever seen that once with a naughty kid that got called into the office and was caught out, and suddenly pearls of sweat started to drop. But think of it, it was almost like blood. That's a lot of stress and fear that was in Jesus at the time. But the Bible still says, fear not. Yeah, we're talking about an emotion and a feeling. Notice that the Bible says, fear not. It doesn't say, shake not, sweat not. Jesus was sweating. It does not say, tremble not. Those feelings are going to come with it. But what does God expect us to do? He expects us to step out in faith and to do it afraid. The scripture goes on. I'm not even going to go through all of it. Jesus goes on to say, Father, if you will take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. He then goes a second time and says, Lord, if you will take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours. That's like us. And Jenny's been saying in Bible study, can we keep going back to God and begging and pleading and asking him? Well, this is what Jesus was doing. Jesus was in such fear that he kept going back to the Father and saying, please, will you take this from me? Can you relate to this? We all go, we're not going through a crucifixion, but we have that fear and we go back to God and we're like, please, I don't think I can handle the situation anymore. Help me. And so Judas arrives. He betrays him with a kiss. And the disciples, in fear, run away. Peter denies Jesus in fear of what might be done to him. So the disciples are riddled with fear. So Jesus goes through the beating, the scourging, the mocking. But I want you to listen to that. He goes through. He goes through it. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. He must have been quite scared at the time too. But he went through. And this is the victory of fear. This is how we are going to defeat that spirit of fear. By stepping out and doing it afraid. Doing it while you're sweating, while you're trembling, while you're shaking. But you're going through it. If we wait for fear to go away, guess what? We are never going to do it. If Jesus said, well, I'm going to put this on hold. I'll go through my crucifixion when the fear goes away. Well, guess what? 2,000 years would have passed. He still did it afraid. We need to face that fear, and that's when fear loses control over us. But guess what? Don't think that it won't come back. It's going to show its head again. And maybe if you've conquered that fear, another fear will take control. This is a spirit that's never going to leave us, but it's a spirit we can have victory over. In Matthew 27, verses 46 to 50, at about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the fear that Jesus must have had on the cross? Forget about the fear he had earlier. He didn't know exactly what was coming. And then he gave up his spirit. And in John 19, verses 30, it says, Jesus said, it is finished. And so 3 days later, he rises from the dead. The day that we are celebrating today. And Matthew 28, verses 1 to 7, it says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week. That's what you did today. When you opened up those curtains and you looked out and you thought, you've got to be kidding me. Hey? I know. I pressed snooze twice. Okay? And when I got out here, I thought, it's still dark. Am I going to stand here with a torch doing the message? But that's what Mary did. Mary wasn't expecting a risen Christ, but she was still going to do the right thing anyway. And that's what you did. Even though that bed was calling, you decided, I'm going to do the right thing. There's a saying, the early bird catches the worm, and that was you. God sees that sacrifice that you've made, and you can just be rest assured that you are going to receive those blessings. Verse 2 says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid. We're back to the fear thing. Can you imagine being one of those guards? And the next minute, there's a giant angel sitting on this rock. They shook and they became like dead men. No kidding. Okay? I think as much as what we believe, if an angel had to suddenly stand here, I think some of us would be out of this gate, even with the gate locked. Okay? Notice, the angel doesn't say to the guards, fear not. He lets them carry on trembling. Okay? The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. It's the story of the empty tomb. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said he would. There's another message in there for some of us. God speaks to us, but so often we don't listen. Jesus told his disciples over and over, I'm going to die and rise from the dead. Straight over their heads. They never heard it. For 3 days, they're in panic and they're in fear. And he says, just as Jesus had said to them, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples. Mary was the first one to spread the gospel. The first one to the tomb got the blessing. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as I have told you. John 20 verses 15 to 20 carries on. It says, he asked her, and this is Jesus, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Did Jesus have amnesia? No. Okay, he's testing her. Thinking he was the gardener. Remember his appearance, he had received a new body. She said, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Jesus says to her, Mary. And immediately she turned around and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. A few weeks ago, we did the Lord's My Shepherd. And we said that the shepherd, the sheep know his voice. Okay? She didn't recognize him physically, but as soon as he spoke, she recognized his voice. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet been to the Father. Where had he been? He went to hell. Okay? He had not yet been to the Father. So he said to her, please don't touch me yet. And we know that that's the right teaching because later on when Jesus had been to the Father, he says to his disciples, touch me. Put your hand in my side. Remember with doubting Thomas? Okay? We jump to verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which was Sunday, today, when the doors were shut, so the doors were locked, where the disciples assembled together in fear. They've just been told that Jesus has risen from the dead. And where are the disciples? Behind a locked door, scared of the Jews. Still a story of fear, okay? And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. And what did he say to them? Do not fear, okay? And when he said this to them, he showed his hands and his sides, and they were glad, and they no longer doubted. It's interesting because it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to over 500 other people at the time. So he made sure that there was going to be no doubts, that that everybody knew that he had risen from the dead. He was victorious. He conquered his fear. And through that, he conquered Satan. We sing such an awesome song that death couldn't hold him down. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me and in you and in all of us because he conquered the fear. Psalm 118, verses 6 from the Old Testament says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Philippians 1, verses 28 from the New Testament, "Do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself." Jesus had risen, and yet those disciples still had the fear of man in them. That's why they were locked behind those doors. And this is what we need to get out of Easter. Jesus is saying the same thing to us. No man can do anything to you. Why are we scared? Why are we losing the joy of our lives and living in that fear? Joshua 1 verse 9, "Be bold, be strong." We know that song. "For the Lord thy God is with you." Psalm 23 verse 4, again, "From the Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So in conclusion, Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. Yes, he felt the fear, but he did not allow the fear to control him. The outcome could have been very different if he had. Hebrews 13 verses 5 to 6, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Third time that's come up today. I think that we need to listen to what God is saying. No man can touch you. So I want us to close off by saying, "I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. It is finished. Spirit of fear, I bind you. You have no more control over me. Father, release a spirit of a sound mind in my life. I will do it afraid. False evidence appearing real." That's it. Stop allowing your mind to make it worse than what it really is. Because if the devil's trying to put the fear in you, he's trying to stop you from receiving something awesome. Something awesome came from Jesus' death, his resurrection, the fact that we are free. Something beautiful came from it. And if the devil is trying to put fear in you, he's trying to stop you from receiving something awesome. So let us receive that something awesome. Amen. Okay, that's it for today. We're going to close with "You Shall Go Out with Joy." And then, the blankets are all gone. Sure. I was going to say, grab yourself a blanket, but that's fine. Everything would have warmed by that time. So just stay a few minutes with us. Don't run off that quickly. Let us have a little bit of fellowship time. And then you'll be home before.